Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast. I am Joel Zwicker, Business Development Manager here at Agency Revolution, where we help you connect with your customers in ways you never thought possible, allowing you to define what it means to be a client of your agency. What does that customer journey look like? We help you attract new prospects and grow your business. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of having a great conversation with Ryan Deeds, who is the VP of Technology at Assurex Global, as well as co-host of the Digital Broker Podcast. Today, Ryan and I discuss content, something that is a mystery to many agencies, and even agencies that think they have it figured out often continue to struggle with the strategy, the cadence. What should we create? Where should we post it? Ryan and I discuss that in depth, which will allow you to really discover or reevaluate what you need to be doing with respect to content in the world today. So without further ado, here is Ryan Deeds. Ryan Deeds here joining us on the Connected Insurance Podcast. I am super excited, Ryan, to have you here. Thank you so much.
I'm glad to be here, and you sound very excited. So that's good, because I like a dude with passion. I got a little passion, you know, so I'm cool with it.
You know what? I am excited about this podcast for a couple reasons. Number one, the opportunity to chat with someone like you, who is obviously one of the great thought leaders in this industry, but also a chance to chat about a topic that I am super passionate about, and that is content for insurance agencies. It's such a huge deal right now.
It is. I mean, and I think that the challenge is it's so easy to one-off something. You know, hey, yeah, I'll write three articles and I'll throw it out there and I'm going to get all the likes and I'm going to get all the love back, right? I mean, I think that's like the initial kind of thought. Like, I'm going to post a Facebook post out there and it's going to get 1,000 likes. And if it doesn't happen, then I'm never doing it again.
Yeah. And that's something I hear as, you know, part of my day-to-day role is I talk to insurance agents day in and day out. And the most common thing I hear is, well, we tried that on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and it didn't work. We got no results. We didn't write any business from it. And I, you know, your opinion. I just don't see that's how social media content works.
I totally agree. I mean, I don't think you go in for a direct return on investment. I think that it's a brand differentiator because you're confident enough in your ability to produce problem-solving content. I think it shows that you're articulate, that you know how to use the mediums that are out there, that you're modern, and that you're unafraid to show some solutions because you know execution differentiates almost everything else. I mean, those are all the subtle things that I think individuals start to understand once you have a long-term social media strategy. And I think it's building trust and authority in specific spaces if you have your strategy effectively defined.
Agreed. So let me ask you this. So let me play insurance agent here for a minute. And you scared me as an agent when you said long-term strategy. This means I'm going to have to do something more than once, as we previously suggested. So, you know, let's talk about that. Like, define long-term strategy. What kind of timeline should we be talking about here as far as, you know, putting a plan together, then maybe the thought of possibly seeing some results.
Well, I mean, I think you go into it, if you're starting in 2019, I think you have to start with the idea that this is going to be a forever project that you're just going to consistently iterate over. I think the more important thing before you enter that world is, what are your expected results from that? And are they realistic? And how will you change your cadence, your content, based on those results? You know, what are, because you're looking for something. I just don't think you can say, hey, we put five Facebook posts out, we got $500 worth of business, it was effective. I mean, that's not the play. It's so much more about building a community around, and it's weird because you're an insurance agency, but it can happen. I mean, a lot of the larger brokers we're seeing have significant success in community awareness and involvement. And I think you could do the exact same thing in a smaller firm.
Yeah, no, and I agree. So when we talk about cadence, like, we know that on social media, the consistency factors there. People expect to see all the time. And as a busy insurance agency, that's just not really practical. So how does an insurance agency be effective on social media, knowing that they're still going to have to do the insurance agency thing? Because most agencies just don't have the ability. That's not fair. I don't know that saying they don't have the ability. They always have the ability, but they just don't jump on the opportunity to hire someone to do this full time. So it ends up being the agency manager, the agency owner that falls on them to create this content. Like, how often do they have to be doing this to be effective?
Well, first, I think that if you look at where your dollars are going, I think that, you know, if you're doing social media marketing and that everybody in the organization, producers included, should have to give something up to help cover that. Because I don't think that, I mean, I think long term, this is just a position that's going to be there forever. This is how we communicate now. This is how we show value and tell our story. The fact that we are archaic in our ability to do that, doesn't mean we have to be that way going forward. And the modern folks are, I mean, they are absolutely out there pounding the pavement. Now, what cadence is going to all depend on what channel you decide to go on. Twitter has a much larger, and I would always go value over volume. You know, I would go valuable content, like you said, consistently, over 50 tweets that might not matter, just to put it out there. You know, I would think that, like, on Twitter, you're going to have maybe a couple tweets a day if you can find valuable content. You know, on LinkedIn, maybe two or three posts a week, in my opinion, is what I would like to see, especially from an agency that has more than four or five producers, because those producers should be generating content relevant to their niches. Facebook, it's a very different play there. I think that it's all about the strategy that they're using in the Facebook tool. You know, are they delivering information? Is it contest based? You know, what's the pitch that's going to get people engaged in the Facebook page? Is it factoids? Is it fun afternoon stuff that you're providing? Is it historical references of insurance? I mean, it just depends on kind of what your play is.
So a super common thing we hear from, and you go to events, is where should I be? Like, should I be on Facebook? Should I be on LinkedIn? Should I be on Twitter? Should I be on Instagram? And I think what you just said was something that I remember hearing a long time ago. And I always took it in my experience when I was marketing my agency, is you need to be where your clients or your prospects' eyes are. So I think what you just said is, hey, you need to know who your client is. And then that's where you're going to focus your energy.
I mean, if you're a personal lines agency that is trying to generate personal lines business and you're marketing on LinkedIn, probably doing it wrong. You know, if you are a purely really focused on large risk management accounts and you're not on LinkedIn and you're putting stuff on Facebook hoping to drive that, again, you're probably doing it wrong. You know, I think that when you look at the platforms that I don't know that an agency cannot be on LinkedIn. I mean, I've just seen so many business synergies happen on that platform, and it's just growing. I mean, it's crazy how powerful LinkedIn is right now, in my opinion. And in some of the, I mean, when you talk to some of the big thought leaders that are out there, they are really, really hot on LinkedIn from a business to business perspective. Facebook still has the captive audience of a very specific buying demographic. You could target ads very specifically on there. Instagram, I mean, Instagram to me, It just depends on who you're trying to. If you have a large millennial group of clients or you're trying to break into that market, then yes, I think you need to be on Instagram or Snap or something like Snapchat, wherever, you know, where they are. But I think the fundamental thing that you said is correct. Before I enter into this, what am I delivering? What's valuable? What has been successful? Like, go look at a couple of agencies that you dig or other companies that are financial service companies that you dig and see how they connected with their audiences effectively. I mean, I think that that helps so much when you start to see something that actually is working.
All right. So let's break it down a little bit, because I know the people that are tuning into this podcast are, there's going to be a batch of them that are focused on commercial lines or have a portion of their agency that's focused on commercial lines. And then there's going to be a batch that are personal lines. So let's talk commercial lines for a moment. And I wholeheartedly share your opinion that if you're not on LinkedIn, you need to be. What does a commercial lines agency do on LinkedIn? Like, I hear you 100%, you know, two or three posts a week. What is, you know, what are we posting? Are we grabbing stuff from carriers on certain coverages, or do you think there's a better strategy than that?
I mean, I think you can do that. You can repost other content. That doesn't drive the engagement. I mean, what I want to see my producers write 750 word articles about the top three risks that you didn't know about, owner of X thing. You know, I want to see, you know, did you know about this specific loss in this industry? I think so the producers need to be generating that, because I believe if I'm looking for a partner in insurance and I come to a producer that's written three or four articles about the topic that we're talking about, it validates that person so freaking much, especially if what they write resonates with what I know. Inversely, if I go to just a larger, so say that I've got an independent that has a producer that's written four or five articles, and then I go to Willis and they've got a producer that isn't, it may make my choice a little harder, because the expert wins today. Everybody wants to do business with the expert. So when we're talking about tactical product that's going out onto LinkedIn, because every time that producer generates that article, they should be sending it to their prospects, the ones that they and clients that fit that article's needs. You know, to me, it's just a touch point. Producers have to be touching their freaking prospects, the ones that they didn't win, quarterly, to keep front of mind. This is just an easy way, in my opinion, to do that. And it's just, but I just don't see the drive in the producers for the most part to generate that content.
You know, it's funny you say that, because isn't that the definition of a producer? Somebody that goes out, brings the business in and closes it. And so to add on to that, I think what you just said, just to summarize it really, is that a content strategy on the commercial line side, and I think we'll find there's some synergy here for the personal line side, is it doesn't fall on that one person. The best strategy is a team effort. On the commercial line side, you're definitely going to have producers that have expertise and some in a niche or two. Let them be the experts in that and start leveraging that as an agency as a whole.
Well, and I would like to see producers write content, but I think operationally the agency has a responsibility to generate content if the producers will not. And some agency principals don't want their producers dinking around with LinkedIn when they could be closing X deal over there. I mean, I think that mentality will shift. But so in my opinion, if the producer's not generating content, the agency could generate content and then put it out as that producer. And there's a multitude of ways to do that, either by, you know, having somebody internal write it, having a ghostwriter off of a platform like Upwork. You know, sometimes you do not want to be relying on producers to create any kind of scheduled content, because it almost always falls by the wayside.
Yeah, consistency is the big part. But what about the personal touch? Like, the authenticity that comes from, even if it's not the most professional piece in the world, thoughts on that, on that end?
Well, I mean, what we saw, and I did this at an agency, was we were trying to create a content strategy. We knew we wanted to create a blog. We knew we didn't trust us ourselves internally to be able to do it. So we went out to a platform, got a writer that knew some about insurance. We gave that writer a schedule that said, hey, you know, we want two pieces a month. This is kind of what we want the topics to be on. We may shift it if something pops up like ACA, something like that. But this is kind of the schedule. That writer would deliver it to us 2 or 3 weeks before it was due to be published. We would run that through the producer. The producer may even edit it and make some adjustments to it, make it more their own a little bit. And then we might send that out. Then we would send that out on the blog and LinkedIn and any other platforms that we wanted to as the producer with a very limited amount of overhead that that person picked up. I mean, obviously it would be within that producer's niche and expertise. That's why they would own it. But I did feel like that was a pretty effective strategy. It gave the agency operational experience on what social media was supposed to do, what its actual impact was, how to judge success and whatnot. And it bolstered the producers that that content was released under. And so that wasn't a bad kind of meet in the middle. I personally, drives me crazy that producers don't write LinkedIn articles because it's such an easy thing to do, and it's probably the most impactful thing that they can do. It just drives me nuts so we don't see more of that happening.
All right, so there you have it. On the LinkedIn commercial lines, expertise says, why aren't you doing it? If you're a producer and you're listening to this podcast, start doing it. I couldn't agree more with what was just said. It's easy. It's the ability to write is limitless. Your audience is limitless on LinkedIn for your niche. I love it. I love it. So let's flip the script on that a little bit now, and let's talk about the personalized side. This, you know, I think Facebook is where personalized is. That's what I believe. What are your thoughts?
No, I think so. I mean, I think because the marketing dollars on Facebook, although they still go fast, they can go much more specifically. You know, if you're trying to target high net worth in Davidson County, I mean, help. Facebook is the way to go because the demographics on the things allow you to target that segment. And so I think that most agencies probably don't have a clue on how powerful the targeting on Facebook is, and that they should at least take a look at that because that'll blow your mind. I mean, so I think that there's that aspect, the marketing piece of it that's very, very impactful. And then I think if you're generating proactive content that speaks to the class of problems, and I mean, you think it, hell, put up a fail video. You know, throw up a fail video on a household fail video and say, hey, you know, you do got coverage. Everybody will watch a fail video. Everybody understands, you know, what that is. It's kind of funny. And it gets people thinking about the real life ramifications of the freak of not having insurance. So if you had fail video Friday and that's what you did, you know, and all you're doing is going and finding YouTube content, posting about it and maybe making a few words. I mean, and so, but I think it really comes back to that definition of who you're trying to hit and what you're trying to garner there. Are you building a community? You know, are you, what's your purpose on Facebook and how are you providing value to that client base?
Yeah, so that leads to my next question, and tying a little bit back to LinkedIn, do we feel like the cadence needs to be the same for LinkedIn and Facebook? There's a feeling or a general belief that, you know, on Facebook you need to be there much more often than maybe LinkedIn.
I think so. I think that people on Facebook are a lot more used to having, you know, 4 posts a day. 5 posts a day. It's not nearly as saturated as, I mean, it doesn't get nearly as loud. It seems like if, cause I very rarely ever see like one person or one company post 5 things on LinkedIn. That just doesn't happen. You know, when it does, it starts to get annoying, but on Facebook, you scroll so quickly that I think that the more relevant content that you can post at the, you know, if you can do that 5 times a day and you'll see if it works or not. I mean, it's all going to be about the content that you put out. You know, I've had videos that I've put out that have gotten 500 views. I've gotten videos that I've put out and that I've got like 17,000 views. And it's so hard to judge what's going to resonate, you know, and over time though, you do get better at that.
So let's talk about that for a minute. So you mentioned video, and I love video. I think that's the only thing I seem to look at when I'm online or when I'm on social media. That's kind of how my brain works. I don't think I'm that uncommon in that. So how does an agency come up with creative video? Do you rob from YouTube and these places, or do you get original?
I don't think so. I think that if you think about the underlying power of an agency, what really differentiates an agency is the service staff, the account managers. I mean, yeah, you can have some good producers and they're going to put up big numbers, but if you're growing, that means that you're retaining, you're servicing, you're following through with your promises. You have a good account managers. What if there was a technology that allowed you to teleport your account manager from their space to your client space to be able to give them a 5-minute overview of a policy, or to give them, to get their face in front of them where they could see the passion that they had for protecting that class of client? I'm so hot on video because I'm watching my kids, right? I mean, the kids, all they deal with is video today. They if it ain't video, it ain't happening. And so I think that is a place that has a huge amount of growth from the business side. And in the insurance agency space, I just see a ton of use there. You know, yes, if you're going to do social media videos, I think you could absolutely mix it up by getting stuff from YouTube that aligns with your vision. At the same time, I think you should be making authentic selfie cam videos that help get your account managers out and about, because that the passion that they have, I think, will bring people to you. I mean, I want to work with that person that's so passionate about protecting petroleum trucks, you know, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, I love it. And I think the authentic piece is key. I think a lot of people think, oh, how am I going to do video? I got to go get this big expensive camera and I have to have all this mic set up and I need this and I need that. When the reality is you have everything you need at your fingertips. Almost everybody has a cell phone. Everybody likely has a webcam on their computer now. And that's all it takes to really create an effective piece of content for social media, or for any purpose for that matter right now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I mean, I think what we're seeing is authenticity is key. I mean, and so, you know, you can do polished videos with HDR, but what you're seeing, especially on LinkedIn, is videos of people in cars, you know, talking heads on their cell phones. You know, my videos are typically in hoodies. And I think that lack of polish then lowers the barrier to entry for everybody else, as long as your message is good. And to me, tell a story. Everybody likes a story. So if you can tell a story, they're going to equate it back to their lives, and they're going to find something in that story that maybe they may be able to connect with. So how does the product enhance a story? And it's got to be short. I mean, you can't be making some 8-minute video. You know, I like to see 90-second videos.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly. And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I know that there's people listening to this once again and thinking, but what do we talk about? I mean, to me, an insurance agency is an endless stream of stories.
Claims, man. Claims. All day claims. I mean, you could talk, if you wanted to lead with fear, you can talk about claims, the incidents that occurred on no covered situations. You know, you could talk. Or if you wanted to lead with positivity, you could talk about how this weird coverage ended up saving this thing. People always love to hear claim stories. Always. And so I think that there's a treasure trove of compelling stuff there. Now, trying to explain coverage, which I see on video a lot, I just think it's a hard win there, because, man, it coverage, you got to be a dynamic speaker to make coverage interesting.
It's a snooze fest. Let's be honest. Like, sometimes it can get really boring, or when we're talking about the intricate coverages of a policy, whether that's personal lines, commercial lines, financial services, or anything. But when you can put that real life, like what that boring piece of coverage actually means, but when you can see that in real life and make sense, then all of a sudden you have a captive audience.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, as you think through the different stories that you can tell, the different lives that your agency has changed from all kinds of different fronts, being employee benefits and being PNC, obviously you're always going to be careful with personal information, but there are a lot of stories out there that can help people and help educate people in a way that doesn't seem educated. You know, people are not going to care about D&O coverage for the most part, but if you can equate D&O coverage to a story and how it helped an organization in 90 seconds and get your face on there, you're winning.
Oh, absolutely. And I even better, you know, we're on the Facebook side of the video. Amazing if you could ever, if an agency took the lead and incorporated some real life, maybe a client jumping on there. I know that's a little bit more work. That's not something you're going to do on a daily cadence, but this is stuff that's truly powerful that on a semi-regular basis to be able to create with that phone. Simple as that.
Yeah, I tell you, like, it was weird. Like 2008, this guy, Luke Vaughn, he was a loss control dude at Lanier Upshaw. And he was like, man, you want to go? I was big into video at the time. I had this whole video rig. I mean, I still have it. Good SLR camera and a Steadicam and all this stuff. He's like, hey, you want to go out to this client with me and check it out? It's Bock Tower, a beautiful freaking place. We could go inside and do all this stuff. So I was like, heck yeah, let's do it. So I went, took the camera, did all this video, edited this thing together, sent it over to Bock Tower. And they loved it. I mean, it was just kind of like a little promo about some of the areas that they had, but we were using it to showcase them as a client of ours because they're kind of a premier client in that area of Florida. And it really went over pretty well. And I mean, this was like way back in the day. This is early, you know? And so, yeah, I think that today there are many ways to think about how your synergy with that client can help you. And give you content to put out there that then they will share and they'll be happy for others to share that know them. I mean, it's kind of a win there.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't want to see their own picture, right? So sometimes a client gets involved. Hey, look, I was involved in this. And next thing you know, the floodgates open with people coming in all because you just did the right thing and you shared a story that, you know, could potentially positively impact people if they run into the same situation.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think it's like you said, I mean, this kind of content, it's like a bank. Every time you generate content, you put it into your bank and that interest grows with time. You know, some of the stuff that I'm sure that you have out there from like 5 years ago still generates some kind of click or some kind of interest. And when you think about if you do it strategically and you amass, you know, 50 pieces of good content a year, what does that do for you over 5 years? I think it's a very difficult thing to quantify. It's hard. I mean, you don't want to miss that.
No, absolutely. And I think that's a great point when we talk about how much 50 pieces of content over a year is not that much. That's less than once a week. Taking the time. And when we say time, it, like I said, it doesn't have to be professional. It can be on that cell phone or on that webcam and creating that and getting that out there. If you think about that in the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot of time.
Yeah, I think people worry about tarnishing the brand. I think it's like you said, like, yeah, we don't want to put something out. First, they're worried about what they're going to say. Am I going to say something that's going to offend people? Which I think is legitimate. I mean, you know, in today's society, it's hard almost not to say something to offend people. So I think that's always going to be out there. I also think then, you know, if you're used to this very professional vibe in your insurance agency to go and do a one-off, a one-off video or a video on your cell phone that you're representing them, it feels weird to some of those principals until you start showing them something, you know, you got to show them how it's going to work because I've tried to do it a couple of times and I've gotten a massive amount of reticence from different agencies.
Yeah. you talk about tarnishing the brand, and that's interesting. And, you know, you're adding an incredible amount of value here. And I'd love to share just a little personal experience that you and I have actually discussed before about using video to get people to attend a meeting with me. And, you know, when I first started doing that, I always wanted to represent, you know, Agency Revolution is a company I've believed in for a long time, has a great reputation. We're obviously representing, working with independent insurance agencies. Certain level of professionalism is expected. So I do my videos and I'd make sure I have a nice Agency Revolution collared shirt on, make sure my background was good. And then quite honestly, I you know, it worked well, but then I got a little lazy and I didn't have my shirt one day. So it must've been in the laundry. So I just started doing it with t-shirts. And what I noticed was the more casual or the more authentic I was in the video, the better the response was.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think it was so awesome. And I took that idea of yours. And so I'm throwing this conference for AssureX in June. And I made a video like after we got off that podcast, after you and I got off our initial conversation, I went and took a video and sent that to my meetings person, Maggie, over at AssureX. And I was like, I want to do this. And she's like, heck yeah. So big ups to you on that one.
Well, yeah. And I think it's those little things where, you know, okay, here we go, Ryan, we're getting off topic, but you know, we're talking about creating great content. It, whether it's on social media or just purely to send to some clients via email or some other way, finding unique ways to represent yourself and your company are what's going to separate you from the competitors.
Well, and I think that it falls within the context of how you're going to use modern tools going forward to communicate with prospects and clients. Because in my opinion, an agency that sits back and says, okay, you know what we're going to do for any policy that's over, or for any client that's over X revenue size, we're going to do a 3-minute video summary of their stuff. We're going to put the legal verbiage that says this is not all inclusive. For any more details, look at your policies. But here's an overall summarization of the coverages that you have. We're going to send that over to you on a private link. You can have it forever. Bring Cheryl up. She's going to be excited to explain this to you. I believe that that is a scalable solution, that you've just got your account managers in front of that client. You've shown your technological prowess and you're using engaging technology. That kind of stuff is going to happen going forward. And that's where our heads have to be on how to really enhance the experience with our agencies.
Yeah, I love it. I can't imagine an agency not doing that on larger accounts, but you know, in certain aspect, any accounts, like I'm a personal lines guy. That's where my experience came from. And I talk to agents now and I say, I can't imagine sending out a quote. It's emailing a quote out to somebody that called, when how much more effective it would be to use a simple platform like Loom or some other instant recording to send that video quote.
Right.
How much different? How have you just separated yourself from all the other emails that they're going to get? Send it in video.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think the more that you can – where we are today with video is I think when you look at some kind of ubiquitous technology. I mean, that this is just going to be more and more. You got to have cameras at the desk. I like, that was a big push for me. Is like, I wanted everybody to have webcams at the desk, because I really felt like with Slack, we could hop on video with the underwriter, the client, the producer, and marketing all at the same time and have less. I always say this. I want to have less communication, but more relevant communication that's more emotionally impactful for the client.
I love it. I love it. And for me, you say having it at every desk, the more people use it, the more comfortable. So initially when that producer, that CSR, that's maybe a little nervous about creating that piece of video content because they're just never done it before, but they know it's just Joel sending a video to Ryan. And the more I do that, the more comfortable I get. Well, then all of a sudden I have a great opportunity to maybe create from my expertise, something for our Facebook page. Well, I'm going to be a whole lot more comfortable doing that once I've sent two or three small snippet videos off to some clients or prospects.
Well, and then how do you deal with like, hey, well, we don't want to put any content out there that they're going to base a decision on, and then they're going to do something and I'm going to come back and get sued because you know, like E&O risk on, in content. Because, I mean, I think that's another thing that stops people from doing stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, I think if we're scared, if you spend your whole work life or business life being scared to do something, you'll never do anything. You would have never opened a business in the first place. You know, I remember the agency owner that I used to work for once said, well, that's why we have E&O. So if we make a mistake, it's there. It's not that we're trying to intentionally create claims, but you know what? We're not going to stop doing business either.
Right. And I think that's so critical, right? It's just like you can either be in fear of making a mistake and not see the changes that are happening, or you can go ahead and – because if you don't change, you're not going to be around. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, everybody's got to evolve. Or you can take some risks on both the E&O exposure and some of this new technology, but get ahead of the game from your experience. Because, again, I'm not a big outsourcer with a lot of this stuff, because I feel like – down the stretch, it becomes core to the agency, and the more pain or the more lessons they can go through at this level makes them so much better down the road. And so that's a very different opinion than a lot of people have. It's just, I feel like they need to institutionalize these lessons instead of just giving it to other people.
Yeah, no, I agree. And at a certain point, you know, it's not so much, I mean, take the E&O part of it out, but if you're worried about making mistakes, it's not so much making mistakes. It's how you react if you do trip up. You know, we all make mistakes. We all may make an error, but how you react to those, I think, is where you can really truly shine through.
Right, for sure. And I mean, I think you have to kind of discuss all that, because we've all seen content that seemed innocuous go errant. And, you know, so I think that always you should have some wide ranging discussions about that. But I definitely think that this is how we communicate. You know, you're going to generate content and put it out there, and people are going to learn to trust you through that. That's happening more and more today. If that's video, if that's writing, whatever that looks like, and the agencies that learn how to do that now and are already doing that, they're ahead of the game. I mean, they just are. I think it's such a hard thing to articulate how much we need to get in that space.
Yeah, and so just to summarize all that, we're talking about, in my opinion, not the ability not to create tons and tons of content, but relevant content. And then, you know, when we do that, realistically, Ryan, what can an agency expect? Like, what should their expectations be as far as results? And I guess that depends on the content to a certain extent.
It does. I mean, I think it's going to be slow. I think that the number one thing they need to do is be consistent. So, you know, say, look, for 6 months, we're going to put out two posts a month on LinkedIn, and we're going to determine which one of those and what kind of writing style resonated the most. But it takes a long time. I mean, you can have some quick wins by posting funny stuff, but I don't really know that that's what you want. I would rather an engaged community than a huge community. You know, I would much prefer to have a bunch of engaged followers than have just a bunch of folks. And so I think that if you're on LinkedIn, have a 5 or 6 month strategy where you're posting content, then you're going to stop but you're going to evaluate what worked and what didn't. On Facebook, you're going to be posting probably with a lot more regularity, and you're going to be looking at likes and views and clicks on that. I mean, you're not looking at dollars. You're trying to increase your audience with those that your message resonates with. If it doesn't go to that, it doesn't really matter, because it's not going to help bolster your message long term, I don't think.
Oh, I like that. And it's so often I hear from an agent that says, yeah, we used to do stuff on Facebook, but we never saw anything from it. And my instant response is, you know, you don't know that. So many people, if you think that somebody just decides today, hey, I'm going to call your agency without doing some sort of research, whether that's to your website, to your social media, you're sadly mistaken. Well, they may have in fact picked up the phone to call you. they've more than likely looked for you on social media or maybe saw something on social media if you're even there before they made that call.
Oh, I guarantee you they Googled. I mean, I think that probably when a producer leaves, the first place they go is Google, right? And Google's going to then pick up if there's, I mean, when I have a salesperson that calls me and if I actually connect with that person and think I like that person, I'm hitting LinkedIn almost immediately for them. Just to see what they're about. How have they been hopping their job 15 times? Do they know what they're talking about? Is this somebody I have validity? And LinkedIn gives me all that. And so I think that, yeah, you've got to be where you're – I mean, that's the main thing, right, Joe? I mean, that's what we're really talking about, is be where your clients are, be where your prospects are, put out messaging that's specific to their problems. And so that may take some internal dialogue to sit down and start figuring out what their problems are and then how do you generate content to address that. But I think if you did that with regularity, you would see you would over time, you would see a following grow. But I think analytics and Facebook are hard for me. I mean, because you're always looking at views and click-through ratio and all kinds of different stuff in there. And so I just like to see likes. How many people liked it?
Yeah, no, and I agree. And so let me play devil's advocate just here for one moment. And once again, talking to agents all day, every day, virtually every one of them tells me the same thing: is we grow our business through referrals, so we don't need those things.
Yeah, that's going to fail. I mean, the referrals are not going to beat scalable platforms that are using digital marketing to address specific pain points, especially as the older buyer moves out of the buying ranks and the younger buyer comes in. I mean, those folks, you know, what you can do with a search today is so much more effective, and what they're looking for is capabilities. You know, it's not referrals are always going to be a part of it, but it is not the long-term strategy. You're going to get your butt tromped by platforms if your production model in 5 years or 10 years is still solely based on hoping to find somebody that can generate you X number of revenue. And yeah, that's not going to be it, because you're going to get just whooped by folks that understand how to get that mass message out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think for a minute that even a referral is just blindly picking up the phone and calling you, you are sadly, sadly mistaken.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, referral business is great. And oftentimes seasoned producers that have large books of business, they can exist on referral business. But that's not actually what the agency need. The agency doesn't need to help that person. The agency needs to help the person that's coming into the game, trying to validate, maybe pushing, you know, in my world, 75,000 to 100,000 in revenue a year. And they're trying to get them to that 150, 175,000. That's where you're going to want scalable platform. That's where you're going to want to have these messages that are able to be that you're building a treasure trove of content. Because it's not only for today, it's also for down the stretch when more and more people are researching stuff. If I have a blog that's talking about construction insurance and I've written on it, you know, for 5 years and I've kept it up to date and everything's accurate, I have a hell of a lot more validity than somebody who has four pieces of content that are out there that are discussing it a little bit.
100%, 100%. Absolutely love it. So, you know what, as I think we've had a great discussion here about content and a true strategy for me, just to simplify it, you know, quality over quantity, be unique, be authentic. What else would you add to that, Ryan?
I mean, be where your clients are, right? That's the main thing is like you said, don't go for personalized people on LinkedIn. You know, if you're trying to pick up corporate accounts on Facebook, that may not be the best utilization. So try to understand from your staff and from your people where your clients are. If you're PL, it's different than if you're EB and if you're PNC. I mean, all of those things are a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ryan, before we sign off here, where can people find more about Ryan Deeds?
I'm on LinkedIn, man, all day, every day. Ryan Deeds and LinkedIn, rdeeds@assurexglobal.com. That's my day job and one I love very much.
Awesome. No, I, you know what? I am super, you know, I've been following you for some time on LinkedIn. Happy that we were able to connect in this. And I really appreciate the value you've just added to our audience. And thanks so much.
I appreciate the time, my brother. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.